With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. American Airlines might seem like a good investment, but despite some attractive numbers, Wall Street sees turbulence and is looking elsewhere to score profits in the friendly skies. We'll explain why and where in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. A new report by labor analytics firm Burning Glass Technologies that studied the underemployment of college graduates found that engineers had only a 29% probability of being underemployed. Meanwhile, graduates of liberal arts areas like philosophy, foreign languages, ethnic and gender studies, history, and English all have a better than even chance of landing a job that fits their educational level. The group looked at real-time job postings and more than 4 million resumes from people who graduated college between 2000 and 2017 and found that on average 43% of college graduates are underemployed in their first job. Of those, roughly two-thirds remain in jobs that don't require college degrees 5 years later. While the average starting salary for a bachelor's degree holder employed in a job that actually requires such a degree is $46,000 a year, underemployed graduates make an average of $36,000. And the Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street team reports that while October's stock market volatility and sharp sell-offs have some keeping a fearful eye on their portfolios and their 401ks, leery of a continued downward trend, the folks at Morgan Stanley say not so fast. They ran the numbers of the S&P 500 over the past 65 years and the past 27 years of a global stock index, and they found that sharp initial drops are indeed the signature of a typical correction, defined by declines of between 10 and 20% in equity prices. If that's the darkness, here's the dawn. On average, recovery follows within 6 months, and a rally within a year. You'd think investor attitude toward American Airlines would be sky high. Revenue per passenger has risen, and that's in the face of higher oil prices eating away at third quarter net income. But there's something big casting a shadow over American Airlines, and Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street columnist John Sindru is here with us to explain. So John, what's casting a shadow here is Delta Airlines. What is Delta doing so much better than American?
I mean, to be fair, we talk about Delta a lot in the column, but United is also doing really well, and it's sort of American has been struggling of late. Their stock is down about 40% this year, which is a lot, and they had like their worst 7-day streak ever recently. And I mean, to be fair, U.S. airlines overall are down because of oil prices going up and generally the stock market not feeling very optimistic. But clearly there is issues that are affecting Americans specifically. And what we argue in the column is precisely that even though the company has been doing some things well, it's still catching up from the merger with U.S. Airways back in 2013, and it just doesn't have the sort of ability to capitalize on the new trends as quickly as the other airlines, and it definitely still carries a huge load of debt. And this, at a moment where like investors are really jittery about the market and, are sort of punishing uncertainty and rewarding, profit margins, cash flows, and all these things, uncertainty is never a good thing to have over your head if your competitors are doing better than you.
Yeah, investors do not like uncertainty, no question about that. And you make a point in your column that you mentioned the better margins that Delta has, also a higher free cash flow yield, and that would give it a lot of momentum if the economy remains strong.
Yes, the issue here being there has been a trend in U.S. airlines recently, and this also includes American, to be fair, which is that they've been collecting a lot of revenues from business and premium cabin. In sort of the airline business model, in the end, business sort of cabins are what create the bigger margins, right? You don't get that much extra space, but because you're sort of segmenting for people that often travel on a company budget, they pay more money just for a few more luxuries. So this is like, if airlines could fill the whole plane with just, the business cabin, they would do that. But unfortunately, there isn't normally enough demand. But all three major U.S. Carriers have been seeing this demand go up. The difference being that Delta and United as well, they've sort of developed very agile ways for people to quickly upgrade between the time that they've bought the ticket and the time time that they're checking in, and they've sort of been seeing a lot of good revenue growth there. And for example, Delta, has been cashing in very handsomely on having a mobile app that does that. Whereas Americans still, again, their CEO was telling analysts the other day that, they're aware that they have this issue, but, they have a lot of things to solve from their merger in 2013. They haven't gotten around to it, and they don't really have the infrastructure or the logistics or the software to do this yet to the same extent. So again, it doesn't mean that, this company is a bad company, but what we try and argue a little bit in the column is that just because the stock has fallen a lot does not mean that it is necessarily much better value than the other companies that not only have this room to maneuver if things go wrong, because maybe a downturn is around the corner and we don't realize, and these companies just have less debt than American does, but also the immediate future, if the American economy continues to do well, is brighter precisely because they've already got in place the way to profit from this more exuberant economy and people upgrading to premium seats.
It's got to be a little unsettling for investors to hear Americans say that they just don't have the software, or the proper software in place to allow customers to use mobile apps to efficiently make upgrades and order products and such. Before the merger, American and U.S. Airways were not boutique airlines. I mean, these are very, very large multi-billion dollar companies. I guess investors would have to be scratching their heads that they would think that American might be more ahead of the game on the software issue than they are now.
Well, absolutely. But, also big boats are harder to turn, or in this case, big airplanes are harder to turn. And, I think that the real issue that sort of has caught their logistics a bit off guard has been the emergence of these third-party websites and businesses that sort of sell you tickets. And, what they don't have is sort of a way to directly link that to you as a customer being able to, do these upgrades between the time of purchasing the ticket and the check-in, which is the moment where you might be feeling, I'm a bit tired from work and I've got to do this trip. Why not? If you get this sort of offer, why not upgrade? Right. And it's not that they don't see it, that this is something they should be doing. Again, the companies being sort of run with the right ideas in place. But it's a large plane to turn around. And, it comes from a merger. It has a lot of issues with, debt that they will in the future have to slowly pay down and, restructuring and integrating two different businesses. And all this, for anyone who's ever tried to do a piece of software and just troubleshoot it, knows that it's not simple at all to make these things work. And I'm sure they eventually will. But in the meantime, competitors, they sort of have a bit of ground ahead of them.
All right. So American Airlines dealing with some headwinds, literally and figuratively. And that's Wall Street Journal Heard on the Street columnist John Sindrew joining us from our London bureau. John, thanks for being with us.
It's been a pleasure.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.